The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
In today's Money Matters, we are going to talk a bit about what you do if your employer offers you a lump sum for instead of a monthly pension.
And what calculations do you go through? What questions do you ask yourself? And does it always make sense to take a lump sum?
We see it happening when people retire. We also see retirees get this offer in lieu of a monthly check.
And sometimes you gotta say no to the lump sum.
Stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you're here today, taking part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Whether you're listening to it live on one of our radio stations or you're listening to it via podcast, we're glad you're here today. Both myself and my co-host, we are both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. And we've been doing this thing for a long time, and
20 some odd years,
several thousand households have trusted Hanson McLean as their advisor. And I don't know how many calls we've had on the air over the 20 some odd years we've been doing this
on the air.
Hopefully there's
21 years on the air.
And if you'd like to be part of the show and have a question for us regarding anything financial, so maybe it has to do with your retirement, or you're wondering if your money's allocated correctly, it's really kind of concerning when I look and see how much people's stock exposure has grown in their overall allocations, because they haven't rebalanced and stocks have done so well the last number of years.
Which means what, Scott?
They've got more risk in it than they think. So you might have a question on asset allocation, or a question on how do you pay for your kids or grandkids' college costs, or what's the best way to finance this or that, or whatever the case may be. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, if you want to try that way, of course, you have to dial numerically.
Yes, you can know only numbers.
Now, think about it. And my eyesight's such that it's hard for me to see the little letters on. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And you could also, if you're on your listening and you're on your smartphone right now, you can just, and you Google us, you will have our number there, and you can just touch that and hit the call, and it will
get on the air.
It's the same number.
So those are all different methods of using a phone.
You could drive by the studio here and throw a brick with a note through the window with a note on it.
That's it.
That would be quite a clever way.
That's a method.
Not recommended. And it's thick glass here, too. It's the soundproof. You have to go through a couple things here. So we'll recommend it.
We'll get to your calls and you get on the air.
Yeah. So why don't we start off in Northern California in Placerville with Yvonne. Yvonne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for joining us.
I had a question. I have sold a home a couple years ago. I have excess of $40,000 I just don't know what to do with. So I put it in my credit union saving account, which is making like $3. So I need something. I need help with putting that somewhere that it's no risk, but it's making more than $3.
Do you owe anyone money?
First of all, I'm glad you called. And here's the challenge, Yvonne, with $40,000. If you had $400,000 or $4 million, you'd have a lot of options as far as financial advisors you can talk with. When you're at $40,000, the challenge is for someone to act as like a fee-based advisor, someone who's not going to earn a commission on selling you a product. Most advisors, you're under their limit. They would like to help you, but just from an economic standpoint, they couldn't charge you a normal fee because it would be way too high a percentage of $40,000. So the only type of financial advisor that ends up talking to people with $40,000
are people that have a radio show like us, or people that are trying to generate big commission.
Yeah, by selling
through
you
high commission products.
Annuities and life insurance and stuff like that.
And you
that.
May have already seen that at your bank where someone has said, go talk to this person in the corner.
Right.
So do you owe anyone money?
No.
Not a soul in the world?
Other than my mortgage.
Okay. And what do you owe on your mortgage?
Like $200,000.
And what's the interest rate?
It's 2.75.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about Yvonne. Are you
Is that a 15 or 30-year mortgage?
It's 30-year.
Are you married?
No.
Single? And do you participate in a company 401k, 403b, 457, anything like that?
I do, yes.
And what do you? Which one is it?
It's a 401.
Okay.
I'm in PERS.
Oh, you're in PERS. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And are you putting the maximum in?
No.
All right.
How old are you, Yvonne?
55.
Any kids at home?
Just one that needs to be out.
I assume they're over. I assume they're over age 18. I'm hoping anyway.
17 drive me crazy.
Oh yeah. I dropped my third kid off at college a few weeks back, and I said to my wife, "Are you sad?" And she said, "Nah, it was time. Yeah. Time."
So, how many years do you have with the state or the county or?
I have 15 years with school district.
Okay, school district,
and your PERS.
Yes.
So.
And do you have money in a 403B or 457 now, 401K?
I don't know much about that stuff. They just automatically take it out of my check.
And on your statement, how much is the account balance that it's showing there?
I think it's around 80,000.
Okay. So are you ready for this? I'm going to give you a kind of an offhand. And how much money do you have in savings just laying around in checking and that sort of thing?
I have about $25,000.
Okay, so okay, here's what I want you to do.
So you're smart. She's got the $40,000. You said, I don't want to waste this. Came from a sale of a house before, right? So you earmarked it. You set it aside, thinking, I need to do something with it. Now it's been 2 years, like, I better move on. I'm going to call those brilliant guys on the radio, Hanson McLean.
So this is going to be a little bit convoluted. But if you could write a check directly to your 403B, 401K, or 457 for the rest of the listeners. Yvonne's using the 401K. You would write a check directly to this $40,000, but you're not allowed to. And the reason is it has to be payroll deduct. But you can funnel it in a different way, which is you can actually increase your 401K to the contribution to the maximum. And you might even find that you have a 457 available to you as well. But you most certainly have a 401K.
She's got plenty of room there.
So you increase the 401k to its maximum, and your take home is going to drop significantly. You're going to take home $1,000 or $1,200 less a month, and you're going to say, "Well, Pat, that great idea, but I can't live on $1,000 less a month." I want you to transfer $1,000 of that $40,000 over into your checking account. Are you tracking?
Yes.
Until that $40,000 is gone. And that way you have funneled your money.
And I'm going to speak one more thing. I would use the Roth 401k option.
And why is that, Scott?
These are already taxed dollars. My concern is if she puts in $40,000 gets the tax deduction, that tax deduction is not going to end up back in there. And the taxes are going to degrade the value of the $40,000 when it's withdrawn in the future.
But you weren't listening to how I phrased it, though, nor maybe was Yvonne. I said that your take-home pay is going to be reduced.
I quit listening to you once I thought of my own way.
I said whatever the take-home pay is degraded to is the amount you're going to put into checking, not the withholding amount. So I was using the after-tax dollars in order to do that.
What's your annual income, Yvonne?
I believe it is 74,000.
Yeah, and I agree with Pat then.
Yeah. So you're not going to worry about just move it to the maximum amount, the withholding to the maximum that they'll let you take
and
out of the
whatever 401k. That different, whatever your paycheck goes down by.
Whatever your paycheck goes down by, take that money and move it over to checking out of that $40,000 on a monthly
and
basis.
And because you're getting a tax deduction on those contributions, you'll end up having, let's assume it's $1,000, the differential. You'd end up having like $1,400 going into your 401k. And because the tax savings, your paycheck's only going to be hit by $1,000 or whatever it is. So I totally agree with that. Put the maximum in, whatever that differential is.
You're going to make up out of that. And that is the most efficient way to funnel that money towards your retirement, which is ultimately where you want it to be. And do it until the $40,000 is gone. And then play with it at that point in time. See if you can actually play with it and maybe live on a little less. All righty.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Do I change it after the $40,000 is gone?
Yeah, well, probably.
Probably, yeah. You're probably not going to want to live like that on that unless you're comfortable.
Unless you think you could save more now.
Yeah, but I would worry about
another option here. Let's talk about some other options. Another option, when do you plan on retiring?
Well, that's a great question because I've had two folks retire, and I would love to retire immediately. I could, but
You've only got but you
need to eat.
So you've only got 15 years in, didn't you say?
Right.
Yeah, so I'll probably wait until I'm 62, but I don't want to.
Oh, I think you're going to work longer than that.
Unless you have another pension coming somewhere.
Do you have another pension coming somewhere?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you're not going to you're at this rate, it's highly unlikely you're going to be able to retire comfortably with this size mortgage.
What's your house worth?
My house is worth about $325.
Yeah, you're gonna. If I was a betting man, you're gonna work past the age of 62.
Just because when you crunch the numbers at that time, it's you're gonna have a, such a differential in lifestyle. You're gonna say
you're just gonna decide to stay on. So a good way to start is doing what we're doing now, maximize that, and see where it goes.
And I hate to make a pitch for something, but
this is actually, this begs for it.
It
this,
really begs for it, Yvonne. This week, we've got our 7 personal decision point for retirement. It's for people within 5 years of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So our workshop's coming up. And there's one in Rancho Cordova on Thursday the 19th. That'd be the closest one, too, at 7 o'clock.
It would be worth your time.
It really would, just to kind of help you map through what are you going to need for retirement, and then kind of plan backwards. Because another thing I was going to mention is that another option is taking the $40,000, throwing it against your mortgage, because you took it out of a house to begin with, and for whatever reason you decide to pull cash out, pay it down against that mortgage, and then let's amortize that mortgage over the next, say, 7 years to get that house paid off by the time you reach age 62.
I was thinking about that as well.
There's another good option.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got a couple options here, really.
But she's got... I was betting, Yvonne, I hate to say this because you said you wanted to retire in 7. Just based on the numbers you gave me and my understanding of CalPERS, I'm hoping that you could retire in 15 years.
Oh, dear God. Well,
she'll have 30 years then. She's paying into Social Security as well, are you not? No, you're PERS.
Yes, I am.
You are paying into Social Security. Okay, you're paying into Social Security, so she'll get that
All
as well.
All right, maybe not. Maybe not another 15 minutes, but most certainly not 62.
Come to the workshop. I think it'd be beneficial to you.
Otherwise, we're just guessing here.
And more information on the workshops. There are other towns around Northern California. We've got 6 that week in Northern California. HansenMcLean.com.
It'll be worth your time. And we normally don't pitch individually to that, but you actually would benefit from this.
I'm thinking you really probably would. So there's a couple options to consider, Yvonne.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. It's always kind of interesting when you... When you go to refinance a mortgage, the mortgage broker or the bank, they get compensated based upon the size of the loan. Okay? They have a financial incentive to see you borrow as much as possible, because the more you borrow, the more they get paid.
Yeah. And it's the same amount of paperwork and work for them, whether you borrow $100,000 or $300,000. Or $400,000 or a million.
So let's say, as an example, you owe $150,000 on your mortgage, and you're doing a refinance, and they say, you sure you wouldn't like a little extra money out for something? Anything you need money for? Pay off some cars?
Swimming pool? Something you deserve.
You worked hard all year. Yeah. Just remember that their interest and your interest are not the same here. As a financial advisor, our interest would be that people have their home paid off by retirement. We realize it's not a reality for most Americans. But from a financial planning standpoint, either having it paid off or as low as possible at retirement. But the banks and the mortgage institutions don't necessarily share that same goal. Matter of fact, from a financial standpoint, they're at conflict. Even if the mortgage person believes that's best, they are at conflict. So just keep that in mind. And taking cash out is usually, most of the times, is not a good idea.
I don't know if she took the cash out of the home or she had sold another home.
Either way.
The question is whether you...
Yeah, either way. And if you're swapping homes, it's best to roll all that equity forward. And it's not not lost equity in your house, by the way. It's regardless of what the mortgage companies say. So 1-888-2-HANSEN if you want to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Let's talk to Charles. Charles, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call today.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Charles.
So just recently discovered about $10,000. And an IRA that I had went from a previous employer. And so I'm getting into doing some investments myself. And I wanted to ask you guys about the risk involved with non-FDA approved pharmaceutical stocks.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to go into some low stocks and the
some penny
one
stocks?
Of the stocks that I have. Yeah, some penny stocks. So they're at right around $5. One of them is just had positive phase two FDA approval testing results.
Uh-huh.
I know they need to go through three phases, and then the other one just had positive safety results in phase three.
Uh-huh.
And so they've both jumped up about $2 each in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of wondering, any tips that you guys can give me as far as...
Find the
you
know, ones that didn't jump up,
that it's going down.
So, the first advice I will give you, and the same that I gave to my 21-year-old son who plays in these stocks occasionally.
Buy low, sell high.
And don't invest any more than you can afford to lose. And expect...
To lose.
That will be a probable outcome. So the mere
you
fact,
sound relatively young. How old are you, Charles?
30.
Okay, yes.
So second thing is, right, so expect that because you're not building diversified portfolios, because you're betting on a field that I assume you are not in the pharmaceutical industry.
No.
Okay.
That is a correct assumption.
So
I only did about a fifth of my, a fifth of the 10,000 into those, and
perfect.
Then the rest I invested in something that's a little more, I feel like, long-term.
And what was that?
So, I did 5,000 into Scotts Miracle-Gro,
uh-huh.
and I did 3,000 into Apple, and then I have a 1,000 into another soil company, and then this is where I did my other 1,000.
Are you in the agricultural business?
No, but I'm from California, and I have a lot of friends that are in the hydroponics business, and they told me about some acquisitions, especially with Scotts, and I feel like with all the legal stuff happening in the next year, I think that soil stocks are going to blow up. So I'm kind of betting on that.
Are you making a recreational marijuana play here?
I would actually take the opposite bet on that.
What's that? Charles, are you making a recreational?
Playing the green rush.
Okay, the green rush. Kush City, here we come. Listen, it's not a portfolio I would build for one of my clients, but most of my clients
are 31. If I were a betting man,
which
these are bets, if I were a betting man, I would bet against, because I think there's too much capital flooding into that, too much excitement about a new market. And what happens, business 101, when there's an opportunity to make excess profits, other capital finds that and they say, wait a minute, this industry's only making this kind of profit. Look at the profits I can make there. Money then transfers from those other industries into this new type of industry. There's excess capital, excess. Now there's more and more competitors in there, pushes down the prices, pushes down the margins until there's not much left. That's kind of classic business 101. So I actually would be taking the opposite side. So when you bought those stocks, just always remember, when you buy a stock, there's someone on the other side who has been owning those who says, you know what, I think it's a good time to sell. I'm glad Charles came to me and is buying this from me.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the answer to your original question. I'm glad that you're investing. I'm glad that your portfolio is somewhat diversified. I'm actually even glad that you have a theme around it, which is what you call the green rush?
Not all. So I would tell you that it's only about 3,000, I feel like, is invested into the green rush.
Okay.
Other than Scott's, because only 10%
is that what they're calling it, the green rush?
So back to the pharmaceuticals there. They're highly hyped stocks because the marketing around them is relatively easily manipulated because of blog posts like never before. There's a whole division at the Securities Exchange Commission that does nothing but actually look for these companies that being hyped, or they call pump and dump. If you watch the old movie Boiler Room, you'll get a good idea of how it works, right?
What's a good resource for that then?
What's that?
Like a legitimate, what's a good legitimate
I couldn't tell you. I don't play in that market.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be able to tell.
On the other extreme of things, Charles. So if you look at most professional money managers, these are people who've got MBAs from top schools and everything else, that are running money on certain styles, they have a hard time outperforming the averages.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a big movement to just indexing, which says, you know what, considering all these people have over the long term can't outperform the average, let's just stick with the average. So our philosophy is really building portfolios, having a core kind of on that index type strategy, still using some active management, but you're entering a world, it's good that you're 30 and it's good you're 10,000, because I actually think that what you're doing is going to help you long term.
Yes. Although short term, we have no idea how it's going to turn out. So,
and it might turn out well.
I also have my 401k too, and
perfect
savings. This isn't my only.
Yeah, I figured that much. You didn't even realize you had it. It was like manna from heaven, right?
The 401k. It's basically play money.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, if you think of it that way, then it sounds like you're making some plays there.
Yeah.
We wish you luck there. Good luck. Let's talk to Blake in Marysville. Blake, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Blake.
I just lost my wife. She walked away with our retirement. I gave her the retirement. I was an ex-truck driver. I have a lot of 1099 time and a lot of no Social Security time. So I have no retirement at all, and I'm panicking, and I just need to know what the best route from here is.
How old are you, Blake?
I just 57.
And do you own a home?
Yes, I do.
What's the value of the home?
$289,000.
And what do you owe on it?
I just got a loan for $75,000. I just got it in my hand yesterday. So
you only own owe $75,000 on this home?
Yes.
And it's worth $289,000?
Yes.
You're doing okay. I mean, I know you feel like you got beat up, but this net worth here alone is worth $215,000, right?
What is, sir?
The value in your home that you owe, the equity, is worth $215,000.
Where's this $75,000 going?
It's going to go to home repairs. Everything that she wanted to do, we were going to do it, and she skated out. So
is the divorce
31 years of marriage.
Is the divorce final?
It is not yet, but it's pretty much done. Yeah, I'm just... she has no claim to the house or anything else. So, and it's going to be an uncontested divorce. So,
and when you say you were on your 1099, you did not haven't paid any Social Security?
No, they did not.
No, but didn't you have to pay a self-employment tax when you filed your tax returns?
No. Unfortunately, the way that some of these trucking companies work, they don't make you do that. And so,
well, no, it's like not them, but I'm just curious. So if you receive a 1099, it's your obligation as a taxpayer to report that income. And then
I did report it and I paid taxes on it.
Okay.
Didn't pay Social Security. I mean, they didn't tell me I paid. Social
you did.
Security.
You did. You paid self-employment tax.
Yeah, you did. You did. You paid 15.3%.
Yes.
You paid both sides of it.
Yeah. So
whether you knew it or not. So what was your average income?
About $45,000 to $50,000 a year.
Oh, listen. So, Blake, don't beat yourself.
You've got Social Security.
You've got Social Security. So here's what I would do. I would actually probably not put any money into the home until the divorce was finalized, till it was absolutely finalized. I don't care whether it was uncontested or not, because it can be contested until the point that it's uncontested. Wouldn't do a thing until the divorce was finalized. Then I would step back for a minute and wonder whether I needed to put any of those assets into the house at all, or whether those are something that you could be defray or defer and own the home outright, which would be turn the $75,000 back around to the bank and hand it back to them and pay that loan off. That's the thing I would be doing. Then I would just work. Right, I'd try to get an estimate of what my Social Security benefits.
Yeah, I'd do that
be.
Right off the bat. Figure out what your Social Security. I'd do that today.
Yeah,
go online and figure out what your Social Security benefits. And it'll show your. They should send you something in the mail that shows your earnings history.
And then I would. I don't know if I'd take that $75,000 loan. You said it was on stuff that was supposed to improve the house for things that you said, quote your words, she wanted. Well, she's not there anymore, so maybe she doesn't matter. Right.
Right. Yeah, there's a few things I still have to do, like $25,000 something like that.
But remember,
it's only $380 a month.
I understand. But look, it's
$380 that could be going to your retirement.
Correct. And if you only spent a third of that, $25,000, it wouldn't be $380. It'd be $127 a month, and the difference could be going towards your retirement. So every dollar is precious now. You're 57. Your goal should be to be able to retire comfortably in 10 years. And the only way you're going to do that
is to have no debt when you retire, have a little bit of money saved up in your IRA or Roth IRA or self-employed 401k, and a maximized Social Security benefit. That's the way you want to go at it. But it's not all that dire. I know many of people that would love to have $200,000 of equity in their home at any age. But
I also have another piece of property next to it with a rental for $600 a month that the guy pays me. So
yeah, perfect, perfect. So you should be saving more for retirement, and I would look at not using all
I know
that
everything.
Money.
The world's crashing in right now. I get it, right?
Right, it is.
Yeah, but take a breather on your finances. It's going to work out.
Yeah, you're okay.
Maybe not the way you planned, but it's going to work out. And from a financial standpoint, you don't look in that, unless there's some other weird debts that you hadn't told us about, I think you'll end up being fine.
You'll be all right.
You'll end up being fine. Right.
Yeah, I have a $5,000 medical payment that has to be paid.
Pay that out of the proceeds.
Yeah,
so glad appreciate the call.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
To join the program regarding something that you're dealing with financially, whether great things or not so great things, 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And look, one of the things that I think Pat and I both enjoy about doing the radio program, which is why we've done it for a couple decades now, you know, being in the wealth management industry, a lot of times, how do I say this politically correct? A good portion of our time is dealing with people that have they figured out the financial game pretty well.
They have plenty of assets.
They were good savers, and things just kind of worked out for them in large part because of decisions they made, but also some luck along the way. And whatever the case is, they find themselves in a pretty good situation financially. And not everyone's like that in this country. We completely understand that. It's one of the reasons that we enjoy this program, because there's some that just wouldn't have access to good financial advice, I think, otherwise. And we're glad to be able to help out. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. We're talking with Pablo. Pablo, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, my question has to do with how to get out of debt when I own my home and I have a rule that I can't refinance my home for 3 years here in California because I took a government bailout, per se, with this Keep Your Home California program that said that I couldn't refinance for 3 years, and that 3 years is coming due in a few weeks, and so I wanted to know if it would be worth my while to refinance now, because I'm in a FHA loan on my home, and I pay primary mortgage insurance, and I'm a veteran, and I want to refinance and take advantage of the loss of paying the PMI.
Got it. Yeah. And imagine your home's worth a lot more now than it was 3 years ago.
So what's the value of the home today, Pablo?
It's worth $274,000, and I bought it for $187,500.
And what do you owe on it?
About $165,000. It didn't go down much.
You owe $165,000 on it, and it's worth $274,000.
Is your credit any good?
Well, my credit should be holding at about $640,000, but during the time when I was in trouble, I had some bad debt that I couldn't pay off that I been working on it for about $50 a month, and so it kind of holds me back from qualifying for any further credit.
How much do you owe on that?
$20,000.
Have you talked to any mortgage lenders?
No, not yet.
What's the interest rate on the California loan you have?
It's 3.52%.
Yeah, I would start by talking with a mortgage lender because otherwise, I don't know what mortgage you could qualify for.
Yeah, and tell me, how much is your PMI, your payment mortgage insurance, a month?
I think it's about $162.
All right.
I don't have my documents right in front of me, but.
So that's substantial. It adds, $162 adds about 1.5% interest to that 3.52%.
So think of it as a 5% loan.
Right.
And
that's what I want to get out of.
Yeah, yeah. And if your credit was good,
this would be a no-brainer.
So that's why you need to start with a mortgage broker.
Yes, yes. And they may be able to clean it up enough that it's beyond my knowledge because I don't do credit workouts. But I would look at this thing and think, maybe if we took a second on the house immediately and paid that off, paid off that high interest rate which you were behind, it might clear your credit up a little bit. But you're going to have to go to someone who's a credit, a mortgage broker that will work with you to clean this up. Otherwise, it's a no-brainer.
Otherwise, it's a no-brainer.
So the question is, you should do this if you can do it.
Right, right. So that's what I think I'm going to try to do.
You have to do this. You've got to go through this exercise. I guess you don't have to do anything. You'd be silly not to go through this exercise, right?
Right, right. Well, yeah, that's why I called the start. Guys.
Yeah. Well, this is good. This was the first.
This
was
what I was thinking, yeah?
Step one, that'd be step two, go and talk with them.
And remember, your interest rate is effectively 5%.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much,
guys. All right, Bob.
Appreciate it.
Glad you called. You know what's funny, Pat? Wasn't that many years ago, and it's like, your interest rate is effectively 5%. 5%? That's fantastic.
I know.
That's 5%.
Yeah. 5%. And you used to be able to do these piggyback loans. The mortgage industry has changed. It changes often.
Correct.
Based on what Wall Street is willing
and
to buy.
And government.
And the government.
And what the government's willing to back, which is, it's amazing to me that the government is still in the mortgage business 9 years after the financial crisis.
They have made some changes, though. They're trying to make some changes.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know why they're still in that space.
Yeah. We got a covered California loan 3 years ago.
Covered California came from when the attorneys generals went after the banks, saying the banks were deceptive, and they were settlements, billions of dollars.
Came to the states to be distributed to.
And we've seen people get money. We had a client who had about $1 million in his retirement account, receiving a severance payment from his employer. I believe he was receiving unemployment insurance, and someone from Covered California called him, and he said, I think you got the wrong guy here, because they said, no, the program, and they paid something like, they got like $1,800 or $1,900 a month for a year.
Bam. Yeah,
like $20,000 worth of payments from the Covered California. There's government at its finest right there.
Wow.
Amazing. I don't want to get political, because anyway. Let's go to Colorado and talk with Bill, 1-888-2 Hanson, to join us. Bill, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful, Bill. Hi.
Good. Okay. My question going out to y'all is, I have recently retired. I've been out from my job. It'll be just coming up on 2 weeks.
Okay. But, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was time. It was just time. So I have 15 years, and so I have my 401k, and then I have my pension with the same company. Now, my question to you all will be, should I just let my 401k ride with the financial people that were set up through this company and just let them still deal with splitting it up when need to be, with the way the markets go. And
Bill, let me ask you this. Are you getting professional advice on that 401k? So most 401k, a company, an employer on their 401k, they'll give you a range of options, but they typically won't provide advice. Now, some companies will partner with a firm where you can pay a little extra, right, and they will provide advice. Are you getting any advice on this?
I call them periodically, but the way I set it up was, would you guys, when you feel there should be an adjustment in one of my categories, to go ahead and make that balance and change it around.
Have they ever done that?
Yes, they have. Yeah, they've.
Okay.
I would get a statement from them saying, okay, we've allocated, we took from here and put it into the other category. So they have been keeping tabs on it.
It sounds like they do a rebalance for you.
Yes,
yeah.
A rebalance. Okay.
Very good. What percentage of your portfolio is in stocks?
Let's see. We have, there's 40% it is into, I guess that was the fixed income, looking at my little color wheel, okay. And then it was 17% into international,
mm-hmm.
19% was small, mid U.S. equities.
Okay.
And then large equities, there was 24%.
All right, a little on the aggressive side for the stock portion. But
how old are you?
I just turned 66 in January.
And are you planning on taking any income from this?
Not from that. All I'm doing is my pension from the same company. I mean, I'm just, you know, a monthly pension paycheck for them, but I'm just letting this sit and ride.
Look, if you're comfortable with the allocations where they are and you don't need income from it, then we don't see any reason to make a change. You could always make that change in the future. You don't have to make the change the day you retire. Now, on the other hand, if you said, I don't really understand how it's invested, and I don't really understand what kind of downside there would be if we go through another recession, mm-hmm. what would my portfolio look like if things fell? Or if you said, I want to have some more flexibility in my income, I want to take a monthly check from this, and I want to make some other things, then it might make sense to roll it into an IRA
with a good financial advisor.
Okay. Yeah.
So are you getting, are you getting any financial advice? Do you think you need any? If you thought you needed, you go get it.
I have actually talked with one of your representatives here in the Denver area, and I was wanting to get back in touch with him when I get through taking care of a few things this next couple of weeks and just sit down and talk, because I had talked to him about maybe possibly letting your corporation take over my stocks and bonds, you know, and see if it would be any better, or I don't know if it, you know, if it turned out to be the same or if there could be any other adjustments. So,
but it would be,
I sat down with,
it would be different. It would be more holistic in nature.
The planning process. Yeah. I mean, the things I kind of wonder is like your pension, which options did you, it sounds like you already, so before you said this, I was backing up thinking you've already retired. You've already selected which option you're taking on your pension. Single life, joint survivor, all your other options there. I'm thinking, have you done your Social Security planning? All those typically.
Have you paid off your mortgage? Does it make sense for you to pay off your mortgage?
All those things typically come into play when looking at, before we look at the 401k, frankly, it's those things come into play. So, I'd encourage you to meet with an advisor if it wants to be. And we've got a great team of certified financial planners in Colorado. But, there's other good advisors as well. But
right.
They're not quite as good.
Not quite as good as the Hanson McLean advisor.
By any imagination.
But frankly, a good advisor will tell you when they're not needed. I mean, there are clearly times when someone comes into, has a consultation with one of our advisors. I know I've certainly done that over the years when I was meeting with clients on a regular basis. Oftentimes, if someone would come in and it's like,
yeah,
it looks, you're fine here. So if we're not going to add value. We're not going to, you know, try to engage the client unless we can add value. So anyway, I think it'd be worth your while to have a chat with them.
And congratulations.
Congrats on the retirement.
Yeah, congratulations.
Kind of an exciting time in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON to be part of the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. All right. Well, now we're going to switch to the segment of our program where we talk real advice. And during today's program, and this is a time when we talk with one of our real-life financial advisors. I don't know why I call him real life. It's real advice. As opposed to the hologram financial advisors we have floating through the office.
Can you imagine how much we could cut overhead if we had hologram advisors?
Oh, the day's coming, Pat.
I'd be the first to go. We get a hologram advisor, we get a hologram owner, and everyone will be happy.
Yeah, Pat always says that he lacks most of the skills to actually get hired at Hanson McLean today if he were to apply for a job. But we talk with one of our financial advisors who shares with us a story of someone that they worked with, and it gives you an example of really the kind of the planning process, and really oftentimes it's people that are in a strange situation or just trying to figure out something that's ahead of them, that's something that they're coming into. But one thing to keep in mind is that the experience that this particular client had may not be the kind of experience you would have with Hanson McLean, so it's not meant to be an endorsement in any way whatsoever. But today we've got Steve Burnett on, and Steve is a certified financial planner, a certified fund specialist, and he's been with Hanson McLean more than 20 years and president of the firm for the last 17 or so. So, Steve, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Steve? Glad you're with us.
I am doing fantastic, and I am here in the flesh. I am not a hologram.
Oh, yeah, we've been trying to figure out how to make... Oh, actually, if we can clone Steve, that's another way to do it. Just clone him. You have them all live in the same residence.
It's a wonder your business isn't larger, Mr.
If we could
Hanson.
Have two or four Steve Burnetts, yeah. all share the same wife and kids, right. same house. That's financial planning at its...
Oh, could you imagine? They'd all...
Look at the productivity.
They'd fight. All the Burnetts are fighting each other.
I have trouble. Yeah, I think about my issues I have internally. Yeah, I can't imagine multiplying them.
All in the same room? I got to spend
all
the
right.
day with me?
All right. Steve, tell us about a situation.
All right. Well, this situation actually goes back a number of years. Gentleman came to one of our workshops and came to me after presentation with what he thought was the winning lottery ticket. He actually retired from a county at a city nearby us here in Sacramento, and he was given an option to take a lump sum pension, which was in excess of $1 million. And so he was all excited about literally what he referred to as a lottery ticket. And we talked a little bit about his other options, which, of course, instead of taking a lump sum, were to take some form of guaranteed monthly payment for his lifetime. And so we got together, we met, we crunched the numbers, and we crunched the numbers assuming 100% survivorship.
So he was going to retire, and he had a lump sum option. And he was looking at $1 million thinking, wow, I got $1 million. I'm going to come talk to these financial advisors, see what I can turn this into.
Exactly. And I would say the excitement he had on telling me multiple times how much his lump sum was told me in my mind that he thought he won the lottery. He was that excited about taking that lump sum. And I think in his mind, he was already taking the lump sum. So as we dug into the numbers, we did some calculations based upon 100% survivorship, because if you take the lump sum and you take the money, you can name your spouse as the beneficiary, so it can continue on. And after calculating the lump sum, the required rate of return that he would need to equate that guaranteed monthly income was in excess of 9% per
year.
Wow. That did not include the fact that his monthly pension had a cost of living adjustment based upon the future of inflation, which nobody knows. And it also didn't include the fact that, and he didn't know this until he brought the documents in front of me, that if he took the lump sum, he also would have to be responsible for his own medical going forward, where if he took the pension, they were going to continue to pay for his medical coverage for life.
Wow.
And Steve, did he have friends that had taken the lump sum?
He did. He
wow.
did have friends that had taken the lump sum. And
can you imagine that? You're offered a guaranteed 9% plus lifetime medical.
So for the rest of the listeners, if you haven't seen it so far, we know Steve is going to tell them that, look, the probability of you getting a guaranteed 9% rate of return.
Well, you're not
going to
get a guaranteed 9%.
And in excess of that, enough to pay for your health insurance premiums with the cost of living adjustment. What is the probability of that all taking place, Steve, in your mind?
Very little to non-existent.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, I will tell you that the time frame that this was at was 1998, 1999.
It's funny. So this is one of these stories. This is, you remember,
a 9% rate of return.
You remember these stories.
Rate of return.
I keep interrupting you, but you've
That's
been
right.
a financial advisor a long time, and there's some certain stories that they remember like yesterday because they
haunt you.
Kind of, right?
Because you're like, I'm glad I talked to this person
yes.
and talked them into not giving you money, right, Steve?
That's exactly right. Yeah, and I explained it to them this way. I said, recognize that firms like our own generate the revenue from assisting people in managing their assets, their money, generally to provide them a lifetime of income that they can't run out of. That's kind of the objective. People don't want to outlive their assets. And so he said, so when do we take the lump sum? And I said, not only do I not want you to take the lump sum, I don't want you to listen to anybody that tells you to take the lump sum, because it was the monthly pension was more than enough to take care of their monthly needs. And they also had some ancillary accounts. They had some 403Bs and some 401Ks that they could use to supplement the other things that they wanted to do in retirement. But I told him, do not take the lump sum and don't let anybody talk you out of that decision. Now, if you look back at over the last 18, 19 years of the marketplace, had he taken the lump sum and even started at a distribution rate anywhere close to 9%, wow, he would have a very high probability of running out of money at this stage of his life, which now he would be in his late 70s.
Yeah. Well,
that's amazing. And did he talk to other advisors?
He did. And, you know, this story popped into my head recently because I hear a lot of radio show hosts in every call that they get where it talks about taking a lump sum. They undisputedly say, take the lump sum, take the lump sum, take the lump sum, without even asking questions about other options that that lump sum offer might entail. Its ties to medical insurance, cost of living adjustments that might be included.
Or the hurdle rate. What kind of rate of return do you need to get in order to match the monthly pension?
They haven't even asked those questions. They just say lump sum because you can control it. And by having control of it, you can control your destiny. And then that money can be passed on to generation to generation. Well, the last 18 years wouldn't have proven to be a very wise choice.
Nope. Well, that's an interesting story. Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate it, Steve. Yeah. And I believe that's the culture we have built at Hanson McLean, Steve. I believe that you working with the advisors at Hanson McLean, that is the culture that we have built, which is regardless of the dollar amount, regardless whether we get compensated on it or not, that the advice has to become solid, good investment and financial planning advice that is predicated on the client's needs, not the needs of the advisor.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, Pat, the way our compensation structure is with our advisors, they don't have some big financial incentive to try to.
They don't.
Yeah. So anyway, Steve, thanks for being part of the program today. Greatly appreciate it. And Pat, you know, it reminds me, you know, this is back. I don't know where we are in the market cycle as far as the financial markets. We know that we're 9 years into a bull market.
We know that this is
second longest in history.
In terms of time.
Time. Will it go another 4 years, 5 years? Maybe. I don't know. Nobody knows those things. If we can predict those things, everything else would be easy. But nobody can, right? But I think it's prudent to expect, look, if we're going forward, if we're looking at our retirement assets, if we look the last 20 years, we've had two major downturns. We had the dot-com bust that took the broad stock market. This is a highly diversified. If you were highly diversified, your stock portfolio fell by 45%. Then we had the financial crisis after the housing crisis, where we had stocks fall, 56, 57%
mm-hmm.
in value.
And other asset classes as well.
Got hammered. So if you're planning the next 20 years, it might be prudent to plan that we're going to have some other major downturns. If they don't happen, wonderful. I mean, it's always okay to have too much money. It's never okay to run out. And I'm reminded of a story. My own story, working with somebody came in and visited us. This was in the late 90s, and he was retiring. And one of his friends says, you got to go talk to Hanson McLean first. These guys, go talk to my advisor. He's great. Whatever. I don't know if he said it was great. Maybe he says I'm a jerk, but I'm smart. So he might not have said I'm smart. Maybe I'm a jerk.
He just said, go talk to Hanson McLean. Go talk to Scott Hanson at Hanson McLean.
So he comes in.
We get it.
He comes in, and he was retiring, and he had different rate of return assumptions. The highest rate of return assumption, these are annual returns, was 20%. The lowest return assumption was 12%.
Wow.
Right? Now, this was very short-term memory for him. So we spent some time looking. I said, let's look at other decades. Let's look at the 1970s.
Yeah, let's look at the 70s.
Let's look between 1966 and 1982. How would you have survived then, right?
Yeah.
So we looked at other periods, high inflationary periods, et cetera. And we looked at the last 50 years, a well-balanced, diversified portfolio was about 8% or whatever. And so we went through this, and so I got him off the retirement. We started talking about some other ways he can improve his financial life to get back to retirement. And I remember, I'll never forget this, because he left and he said, I'm so glad I talked to you, Scott. I'm so glad I talked to you. And then we were supposed to get together in a few weeks' time or whatever it was, and he canceled the appointment or whatever happened. And so I reached out to him. I was like, hey, what's going on? He said, well, I decided to go with that original advisor, and I'm retiring.
The one that talked about the high rates of return.
The one that promised him something they couldn't deliver. So when you're looking at your future, I think it's best to look at, why don't we look at the most conservative?
Why don't we use conservative assumptions? It's okay if it turns out better.
Why not be really conservative? And let's look at what's our probability of success here. Because, I mean, there's ways to test that. We use a Hanson McLean stress test with portfolios that looks at what's the probability of returns in the future. If we have these downturns, what might happen there? But just having a good idea of what's in, and that's why we also talk about second opinions, right? We talked about the beginning of the program, second opinions, and it makes sense to.
And on our website, we actually cover exactly what you talked about, Scott. We have a blog called 3 Key Investment Management Reminders.
At HansonMcLean.com.
And it goes back to the story, which is you've got to come back to what you're trying to achieve, what's important. And the first in the 3 Key Investment Management Reminders, and read the blog, but the three topics we cover is knowing your risk tolerance and how you react, how your portfolio will react to the markets, how to identify your investment time horizon, and then how to diversify your investments to give you some downside protection in the future.
Yeah, we've got a lot on our website that in regards to educational stuff. So if you enjoy the radio program, of course, you might enjoy listening to that. But coming up this week in Northern California, we've got our retirement workshops. If you are within a couple years of retirement, you'll want to attend. We've got them throughout Sacramento and throughout the Bay Area this week, Wednesday in San Jose and Carmichael, Thursday in Pleasanton and Rancho Cordova, Saturday late morning in Concord and Sacramento. HansonMcLean.com will give you the full details there and how to register. And then the week of October 22nd, the following week in the Denver region, we've got Cherry Creek on Wednesday, Broomfield on Thursday the 26th, Island Ranch Saturday the 28th. Again, HansonMcLean.com will get you all the information. We are out of time, unfortunately. You can always get a podcast of this. Go to HansonMcLean.com and click on wherever you need to click on to get the podcast. You'll enjoy it. Anyway, we'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.